The format of this meeting is 2 10-minute speakers followed by our information break and then our main speaker who will speak for 30 minutes. Our first 10-minute speaker is Mural.
Hi, I'm Mural. I'm an alcoholic. Okay, my sobriety date is March 16, 2015, so next month I'll be sober 2 years. I have a sponsor. Her name's Angela. I've been through the 12 steps. I still have amends I'm working on, and I practice 10, 11, and 12. And I have a home group, which is the Atlantic Group. I just want to start by saying thank you so much to Rachel for asking me to speak. I'm so excited to speak for my home group. And I'm so grateful for Alcoholics Anonymous. My life today looks very, very different than it did 2 years ago. I'm happy today. I love my life today. I started drinking when I was about 17, and I liked it. Like, I was getting drunk. It felt good. I felt kind of, like, uptight, and I felt like alcohol let me unwind and connect with people. I felt like I was talking a lot at parties. Just, like, I really, really liked it. What I didn't realize when I started drinking was that I have this progressive disease, and it just got worse and worse and worse for me. I drank more and more and more. And by the end of my drinking, you know, it was really, really dark. I was drinking every day. Most days I was waking up like painfully hungover. You know, I'd wake up every morning thinking like, oh, I'm just not going to drink today. Like, I just feel so sick. You know, I have to go to work and I'm so sick. I'm like in my shower, like trying to throw up to make myself feel better so I could get to my job. I'm like sobering up on the train on the way to work. It was just really horrible. And around 3 p.m. every day, I would be like, well, you know, I'm feeling a little better. I had had something to eat, you know, like I had gotten a couple hours of work done, and I would just start thinking like, okay, what liquor store haven't I been to in a few days? Like, which one should I go to? And I would pick up. And really, like, for something that I was drinking initially because I felt like I was social and it helped me connect with people at parties, like, by the end, I was drinking alone on my couch out of a bottle of vodka. Like, it was not fun. I wasn't going to parties. In fact, I became so belligerent and violent when I drank that I did not like to drink around people. I never knew what I would do. Like social, like work situations, I couldn't drink at because I was so volatile. And just, I never knew what was going to happen, you know? So what ultimately happened for me was it was just a weekend like any other. It happened to me by boyfriend's birthday weekend. I had talked a big game about getting together a party. I did not do that. We got together a few friends, and I don't remember the whole weekend. It was just like a bender, you know. I was told that I, you know, was like verbally abusive to one of his good friends. We went to a nice steakhouse, and I was eating with my hands. I'm quite grateful I don't remember all of this. You know, he had to take me home early, and then I just have snippets of the rest of the weekend. Monday morning, we woke up. He sat on the end of the bed and said again, you know, something has to change. You have to stop doing this. You need to get help. And, you know, I cried. Like, I know, you're right. I will. Which I had said a million times before. And then he said, you always say that. And I said, but not today. It's Monday. I have to go to work. Just, you know, not today. It can't be today. And he said, you always say that. Like, not today. There's always a reason it's not today. Like, when? And he left. And I just... like, I'm sure he said it before, but it hit me. I was like, I keep doing this. I keep waking up and being like, I'll drink a little bit. It'll work for me this time. It'll be fine. And then, like, I end up here, like, depressed and miserable and hungover. I had a meeting at work. I was just like, what's happening, you know? So, I drank that night. And then that was my last drink. You know, I was able to, you know, put down alcohol for about 5 months without coming to the program. I was using other substances during that time. I thought that was okay. And then I didn't know any, you know, like, for a while, I physically felt so much better. Like, no more hangovers, and I lost a little weight. My skin looked good. I was like, wow, this is amazing. But, like, then it kind of tapered off, and then mentally, like, I didn't feel good. I still felt very, very lonely. Like, you know, I spent a lot of time drinking alone. I, like, didn't really have any friends. I didn't know anyone who wasn't drinking. Like, I was afraid of social situations. I was constantly afraid of being fired from my job. I had heard about AA, and I started to, like, audit meetings, kind of. I would, like, come in once a week. But, like, I kept hearing about people like working the steps and their lives getting better, and they had people to talk to, and people were talking a lot about fellowship, and everybody was nice, and I was just like, something's happening for these people. And I started getting frustrated, like, why am I not getting it? And I really was confused. I was like, why? I'm coming to these meetings. Like, why is my life still just bleh, you know? How do I get this? And then finally I went to a fellowship before this women's meeting I liked, and I asked the question. I said, someone told me that you have to start counting days again if you smoke pot. Is that true? And this woman, like, locked eyes with me, and she was like, yeah, that's true. And she was like, let's, you know, come walk with me to the meeting. And she just asked me, like, what's up? And I kind of, like, cried out a little bit of my story to her, and I said I didn't have a sponsor. And she said, well, I'll be your sponsor, but, you know, I take this really seriously. She told me it was, like, life or death, you know, which I thought was a little dramatic, but I really was, like, very depressed. So I was like, okay, like, and she offered to help. She offered to help me. Like, so far, like, nobody had offered to be my sponsor. So I was like, I'm down with this. I had been saying that I had 7 months. So, but anyway, she said I had to do a few things to work with her. You know, I was going to, I had to be willing to go to any length to stay sober. Check. I had to do a 90 and 90 if I was still counting days, which I had learned that day that I was, so I agreed to that. I had to meet her at the Tuesday and Sunday Atlantic Group meeting, which I still go to today. I have service commitments there. I was going to call her every day. I was going to work the steps as outlined in the big books of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was going to sponsor other women when I had reached a 12-step. And that's what we did. The next day I met her, it was a Tuesday, I met her here. I sat with her in row 18. I put up my hand and said I had like 23 days or something. She bought me a big book and a 12 and 12. And we started working the steps together that Sunday. And it was amazing. My life changed so much. Like, I was so lonely when I came in, and like, I started going to fellowship, and I got service commitments, and, you know, I called 3 sober women a day, and people were calling me, and I just felt like, that pane of glass that had been between me and the rest of the world, like, was lifted. Like, I rejoined you guys, you know? I was able to talk to like coworkers. I've made friends since with coworkers, which was something I never had before. I became just like, I felt useful, you know? I felt like a productive member of society. Like I got such a high from doing service. Like it was amazing, you know? Like I suddenly had service commitments to like every meeting I went to. My first service commitment was hanging up the blinds, the steps and the traditions at the Sunday meeting. I was so anal. I was just like, if they weren't perfectly straight, I would like be crying in the meeting. You know, I would be like so upset. But I just, that feeling of being useful, like I hadn't ever, you know, my sponsor said to me early on, your best thinking got you here. And I was like, oh, you know, all those times that I was trying really hard to make it work out there. Like, all my best idea was always to drink again. Like, but I was trying really hard. It wasn't that I wasn't trying hard enough. I really, really was. It just like, something's wrong with my thinking, you know? And, you know, she could see that, you know, being outside of the insanity inside my head. And like, by following her direction, it was like things just got like so indescribably so much better for me. You know, my relationships with my family got so much better. When I came in, my big brother and I like just didn't talk. Like I wasn't clear on why. I didn't know why. I felt like we were bad at the phone. You know, like I just thought like, oh, we just don't call each other. And then I made amends to him, and he was like really honest about how my drinking had affected him. And now, you know, like I can't get the guy off the phone. Like he's calling me, can I just vent to you for a little bit? I'm like, okay, like it's amazing. Like that's all I wanted was this relationship with my big brother. And like now I have that thanks to Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, it's just amazing. It's just amazing. I can't say enough good things about this program. And like something else, I was just thinking about this recently. Like you know, I felt so lonely when I came in. I had a lot of shame because I was in my late 20s. I thought, you know, this is supposed to be like friends. Like I'm living in the city and I have no friends. I'm so depressed, you know. And it's like now, like there are times that I feel lonely, but like that's a choice I'm making. I don't have to ever be lonely again. I have like hundreds of numbers that I could just call. And I know like if I call enough of them, someone's going to pick up. Someone's going to be there. And I don't even have to talk about myself. I can just be like, hey, how are you doing today? And like the feeling goes, you know, it's just such a beautiful thing. You know, you guys have been so kind to me. When I hated myself, you guys loved me. And I just appreciate it so much. So thank you so much.
Our second 10-minute speaker is Omar.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Omar, and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is October 7th, 2016. I have a sponsor. His name is Chris G. I'm a member of the Atlanta Group, and I'm practicing Step 9, and I'm living in 10 and 11. And I want to thank the group for asking me to speak and Zach for making the call. This really is an honor and a privilege. You know, I literally have qualified in my head since I first came to this group every day. And just to be up here, it's a blessing. You know, so let me get started. 10 minutes. You know, I can summarize, you know, growing up, my feelings from the beginning were feelings of inadequacy. You know, I felt lonely and I was angry. You know, I thought, you know, I didn't think much of myself. And I knew that you knew I didn't think much of myself, so I didn't like you because of that, and that was my thought process. So you can imagine, you know, I remember asking my mom at age 8, I said, you know, when I found out what a psychiatrist was, I said, Mom, I think I need to see a psychiatrist because I need help. And she said, why? You're not crazy. I said, because something's wrong. Something's not right. I don't feel right. And I knew what alcoholism was because I saw it growing up. I know my dad was an alcoholic. I can't diagnose him, but I know what it is because I have it. You know, and I promised myself and my mom that I would never be that way. But, you know, slowly but surely this disease is, it got me. So yeah, man, you know, growing up, that's what it was, you know, and, you know, alcoholism was very, I didn't drink right away. You know, I got to high school. I had sports and I was able to engage. And then, you know, I drank for the first time, went to parties. And I was like, oh, I was able to associate and felt a part of. And, you know, growing up, I felt like as I grew up going to Catholic school, so I knew there was something that made this all happen, but I didn't know what it was. And I thought that God had forgot to do something with me. I felt like there was something missing. And then when I found alcohol and other things, I said, well, that's what it was. So these things can complete me and who I am. And, you know, fear. That was one thing that I forgot to mention. Fear. Always afraid. You know, I graduated high school, it was time to move on, and I had a chance to go to college, and I said, you know what, I'll probably fail out anyway. I was too scared to go, so I didn't even bother. So I went to the United States military, and I joined the Navy. But Omar was still with Omar. So, you know, for about a year, year and a half, I was stellar, man. I was an awesome sailor. But, you know, I got hooked up with some people, you know, wrong crowd, and, you know, Omar was still there, so my thought was, you know what? I don't need this. I'm going to be like the distributor of illegal substances and make a lot of money. And let me get this out of the way right now. Drugs are a huge part of my story, but I'm here to talk about alcoholism. So if you're new and you think, well, I don't really drink that much. I did everything, but I have a disease that tells me I'm not good enough and that I never will be. So might as well just do these things and die. Right? So that's what it was. So hopefully you can relate. And, you know, I ended up, you know, that did not last too long. That dream I had of making a lot of money and being, you know, rich. I ended up back in New York and, you know, I got kicked out of the Navy. And, but before that, I went UA for a year. So, which means I was basically a fugitive from the military, and it allowed me to crush my ego because I'm super nervous. So my sponsor told me to be honest and just get that out of the way. So yeah, you know what, I turned myself back in, I did some time in a military prison, and they let me out, and I was back home, you know, Omar was Omar, you know, and I was lucky, you know, but the disease started to get me, man, you know, I was able to get jobs, I was good at that, I was able to impress you at first sight, you know, I cleaned up real well, but the minute that money came in, Friday hit, didn't get to work Monday, then I just started, well, you know what, I deserve it, so I went from a weekend warrior to Thursday sounded good, Wednesday sounded good. Why even bother to work, right? So, you know, I went to rehab twice, you know. They talked about spirituality. They talked about the steps. They talked about sponsorship. I was like, yeah, man, I'll just go to meetings and not drink, right? Made everything else my higher power. But I had no idea what the concept of God was until I walked in these rooms. And, you know, it got bad, man. And, you know, it got really bad, you know. And so one day I was fortunate enough to walk into a meeting and I met my first sponsor, Larry. And he brought me to this group. And, you know, we started going through the steps. But there was that thing. I was waiting for that one moment, that one thing that was going to have me feel okay. And be like, well, you know what? I'm cured. I'm fine. Like, you know, it's easy for me to have gratitude and believe and have faith when things are good. But through this process, I've realized that in my uncomfortability and my pain, I have to seek God. And that's when he's present. And that's how I know this thing is working for me. Thank you. So, you know, went through it. And I felt like I was going through motions. And I just couldn't hear my sponsor's direction anymore. So I ended up switching to my sponsor, who's Chris G, you know. And what I did was, you know, like a good alcoholic, I lied to that man. And I was in a relationship, too. And I lied to that man, that girl, and all you guys for 49 days. And I remember I had 2 days, and I went to my friend Christian's watch. And I saw him celebrate 2 years, and a year. I remember I got home, and I said, I'm not good enough. So I proceeded to lie for 49 days. On day 49, I called up my sponsor. I told my girlfriend what I had been doing, and I told my best friend. And, you know, the relationship was over because she just couldn't stand around and enable me and watch that happen. She's been through several relapses, couldn't do it anymore, right? Had to walk away. And my sponsor, you know, told me, you have to get completely honest. So on the Thursday meeting, I put my hand up. I said, my name's Omar, I'm an alcoholic, I have 0 days. That was my lowest point, but that was the jumping off point. And they do a chip system on Thursday. And they said, if you have 1 to 29 days, come get your chip. And I looked at my sponsor. I said, I don't even have 1 day. He said, go get your chip. I got my chip. And he said, that'll be the most important chip you ever get in this process, because that'll be the day that you got honest. So we proceeded to go through a vigorous, vigorous course of honesty. You know, came to believe, you know, I started having faith when things got difficult. Did a step 4, step 5. My sponsor asked me after it was over, how do you feel? I said, I feel clean. I was getting ready to walk out of his apartment. He said, turn around. He said, you're at the cusp. You're getting ready to have a beautiful life. Don't let up. So I didn't. Did 6 and 7. I made that list. And through this process of amends, which I'm on now, my whole life I'd been pushing myself and getting further away from the ideal that God had for my life. And through step 9, they say this is a bridge back to life, right? Well, step 9 is the gate where it starts to open up and I get reconnected and I start to become that ideal that God had for me in the beginning. And I can't tell you what that's like. I asked my sponsor, what is God to you? He said, you have to experience it. And if you're here and you are struggling with the God thing or higher power, look around you. There's hundreds of people here on one night for 1 hour. For one, this disease is cunning, baffling, and insidious, but it made one mistake. It's the same in all of us, which means there's a solution. And I'm truly grateful for that. You know, like, honestly, like, I have my life back. I'm living today. And if it wasn't for sponsorship, if it wasn't for these steps, and if it wasn't for you guys never telling me, like, to not come back, all you kept saying was, come back, you'll get it. Come back, you'll get it. Well, the program got me. You know, in those 49 days, what happened was, I was still coming to meetings and doing commitments. And I said, hopefully, I had that hope. I said, one day, AA, if I don't die, AA will win out. And it did. And listen, man, I'm not a guru. I'm not trying to, like, preach from a spiritual hilltop. All I'm saying is that I'm a man that had to get honest, and I had to do this work. And I had to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Because I'm a junkie to my feelings. And when I don't feel good, I like to run. I like to say, F it. But in that pain, that's the moment where I was told by my sponsor, said, you better seek God. And I found him. And it's working in my life today. You know, I'm able to be a part of. And all I wanted was a feeling of usefulness. That's all I ever wanted in my life. And today I'm a part of Alcoholics Anonymous. I get to help people through my experience. I thought I was worthless, and come to find out, all that experience has helped me to help somebody else. And I just want to thank this group, Atlanta Group. I love you. Thank you, Peggy, for the structure of this group. I owe my life to this program, and I'm forever grateful. Thank you for my sobriety.
Our main speaker tonight is Lisa.
I'm Lisa. I'm an alcoholic. Oh, and I'm so grateful to be here. Randy, thank you. Thank you for asking me. I might cry, and don't worry about it. I'll just cry. actually, I cry because I am so grateful and so moved by what AA... There we go. usually I'm 10 minutes into it before I cry, but not tonight. But truly, because AA not just changed my life, like gave me a life, and but this room in particular, the Atlanta group in particular, when I walk in, I just get overwhelmed with gratitude and grace. Peggy B is my sponsor. Thank you, Peggy, for many years of grace. That's the word. I'm actually visiting from Laguna, California. California. but I got sober here in New York City, and I walk in and I see people I love. I love, 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 love you, Ava. Love Miss Myra. She changed my life. Maureen and Todd and Vincent. I walk in and I see people who I grew up with. You know, I feel like I walk in and I see family. Truly, like my real family. You know, the people in this room that love me, as we hear and hear all the time, love me until I could love myself. And I counted days in this church, in the basement. There was a meeting here. I got sober in 1984, March 3rd, 1984. So, God willing, in a couple of weeks, I'll have 33 years. And I want to, like, see you guys. Oh, my gosh. And when I first walked into this church, into that basement, it used to be called the Midtown Group, and Vincent was there chairing it, and Peggy was there, and I was like, these are like spiritual giants, you know? There were so many people in this room that were there 33 years ago, and we're still sitting in this church right now. And Bonnie, Vince. Actually, I just go down the row, right, everybody? But no, you guys are so special to me. Wow, I truly grew up here. So, it says in the preface, when I just like, wait, I'm not going to waste time looking up things, but at the preface to the, what is it, the third edition, fourth edition, the new preface, new, 12 years ago, if you have a drinking problem, we hope that you may pause in reading one of the 42 personal stories and think, yes, that happened to me. Or more important, yes, I felt like that. Or most important, now I'll cry again. Yes, I believe this program can work for me too. And to me, that's what I found here when I came in. And it's why we tell our stories. It's why I'll tell my story tonight. And it's my hope that if you're new and you're counting days, that what you heard here, or what you guys were wonderful, thank you for your stories. And I'm sure you heard them speaking. You're like, maybe this program can work for me too. And that's what I found when I came in here. I came in actually pretty sure the program would definitely not work for me at all. But I had a real pain therapist who kept demanding, did you go? Did you go? Did you go? Did you go? And I'm like, oh. And I learned in my six and seven step, one of my big character defects, I don't know if you guys have this one, but one of mine is don't tell me what to do. And you guys have that? So So 1984. Okay, so actually it started 1983. Yeah, I got sober March 3rd because it was my New Year's resolution. No. Took me a while to kind of get that together. really. And it really was my New Year's resolution. Like 1983, I was, my kidneys were failing from drinking way too much. And in my story too, I did a lot of other substances, and this is AA, and I have alcoholism. Drinking, I loved drinking. I just loved it. And I was the party girl, and I was the party girl since I was a young teenager, like so many people that I hear in here. And it was just fun. And when my friend's parents were like telling them not to hang out with me, I'm like, what downers these people are. Like, they just don't know how to have real fun. And I was just a maniac and a party girl. And I grew up in Philadelphia, and my only goal was to move to New York City because for several reasons. A, you don't need a car, so I would stop cracking up cars and handle drunk driving like that. It was perfect. Also, I moved here the week that Studio 54 opened, and I turned my will and my life over to the care of 54. Truly. Truly. Like, what else do you want to do, right? We go there and dance and drink and find him, you know? So that's when it was fun. And then it became, as we hear and hear a lot, fun with problems. You know, then I'd be waking up with him, and it was like, uh-oh, who is he? And then it was, then it'd be, who is he and where are we? Gosh, I'm so grateful. For 33 years, I have woken up, and I've known where I am and who I'm with. Like, right? Like, yeah. That was like, wow. And frankly, if that's all AA gave me, I'll take it like that. Because that was kind of a problem out there. yeah. So anyway, all right. So life, and as you guys shared, you know, like, I was so impressed you got to work. Wow. That was not, no, that was really hard for, no, I couldn't, I just, you had to wake up to do that. And that was just too hard. So, oh my gosh. Okay. So long story short, I don't want to get so stuck in the past, just suffice it to say, I was so powerless over alcohol, and my life was so unmanageable. And really, the truth about work was I wanted to, like, have some job or some career or somewhere to go. And my disease, I was so drunk. Nobody would hire me, actually. It would just, I couldn't get it together, you know, to be a worker among workers, a person among persons, you know. So I would make fun of it, you know. But the truth is because I desperately wanted it. So I had sugar daddies that I hated myself for, that I had to get way drunker to just be with. So I sort of woke up sometime in 83, like, wow, I am not living the light. Like, inside I had all these feelings, all these, things I wanted to do with my life, and like what my life actually was so far from that. And I lived in this giant fantasy world, which, do you guys relate? Like, you're at the bar, I'm like, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and we're going to do this, and we're going to, and then it's like splat, you know, face down in my own So all the I'm going to do, and I never could get it together to do. But big fantasies, big, big life, all in my head. So I'm one of four kids, and my younger brother graduated college in California and moved in with me in New York, and in fact got a job at 54. He like was the lighter, so he actually had a job, right? I'm like, I'm there more than he is, like drunk on the floor. He's actually working. So, and then he got a girlfriend. He didn't have this disease. He like had a job. I'm like, I'm drunk. I'm a mess there all the time, all the time, all the time. He's a giant. He's like, I can't drink. I'm working. I'm like, what? Wait, what? It's like, how do those two like, or how is that mutually exclusive? And he had this girlfriend, and the girlfriend had this like family, and they all had like these big lives, and they had this vacation house. And because he was living with me, they invited like both of us out to this vacation house, and it was like you described, like I was looking through the glass at this like functioning family, like people, like getting, like showing up, like saying they'll do something and actually doing it. It was like, wow, and not getting too drunk or too high to show up and do all that stuff, and I overheard one of them say to the other, are you going to your therapist this week? And I was like, uh-huh, that's the secret. They have a therapist. So I asked my brother to ask his girlfriend, who's the therapist? Thinking you just pay and there you go. Life turns out and you get the vacation house and the job and it all works out. So, So, oh my gosh, but here's the thing I've known since I've been in AA. I did not know it then, I know it now, that there is a God. And I've noticed, I've been present to so many miracles in your life and in mine. And this was one of the miracles. So I get the name of this therapist, and I go, I can make an appointment, And I dress up because I wanted to look like I had worked or something. On the side for a job, I used to sell substances, let's say. So I had a pocketbook filled with that just in case somebody needed something on the way. Or in case I had a feeling, you know, you have to, you just can't have too many feelings, especially going to therapy. Oh my God, you know, so. So I go, I don't know how she knew, how do they know? So she said to me, she said, I can help you create a life. She didn't quite say it like that, but she did say, I can help you, but I can only help you if you get sober and start working the 12 steps. And until you do, anything I say or do will be meaningless. And I'm like, come on. Like, really? You know, I fought her. I'm like, I don't need AA. That was so my defiance. It was so my don't tell me what to do. It was so my alcoholic thinking. Like, I literally thought, I'm smart. I'll figure it out. I don't need that stuff. And what I've learned since I got here has nothing to do with thinking. In fact, my thinking, as you said, is what got me here. My thinking is like danger zone. Like, you know, there's a section in the big book where I replace, if you read this book and you replace everywhere where it says drinking with thinking, it's a scary picture because it's a picture of my thinking, my alcoholic thinking. So in that moment, she's like, you need the 12 steps. And she literally starts writing down in alphabetical order, AA, CA, DA, PA, MA. She's like, pick anyone. She's like, you qualify for all of them. She was like... But she said, but here's the important thing, and it says it in this big book, and why I'm in AA. Not just that it was the first on the list. It was because, and which actually, is, frankly, to me, I think it's why I'm sober. It says in this big book that we identify. We find a place. What's the solution? Because when you hear me, if you identify with my feelings, with my story, like exactly what I just read, oh, that happened to me too. Or I felt like that too. Maybe this will work for me too. It was when I found you guys, and I think, you know, and I listened to your stories, and I heard you guys tonight, and I've been hearing it for 33 years around this country and around the world. I've been to meetings. I listen and I'm like, oh my gosh, I felt that way too. I felt that way too. And when I hear that, my husband's sponsor, Luther, he calls that's the music of AA. That's the love in AA. When we identify one alcoholic talking to another, I feel that too. And if you got through it, I could get through it. And we help each other get through anything. And what I've discovered here, and why when I went through that alphabetical list of all the anonymous programs, and I tried all of them, I did, because she was such a nudge, this therapist. She's like, did you go? I'm like, oh. Here was my first step, right? Our first step is we admitted we were powerless over alcohol and our lives had become unmanageable. I tried to prove to her that I didn't need you guys. I don't need any program. I don't, especially a spiritual one, like really? So I'm going to get through a day and not have a drink to prove to her who needs it. And I'd get through 11 a.m. and then 12. But then lunch might be Mexican food. You have to have a margarita, but that's not really drinking, right? You know? And like every day like that. And then I just see her. She's like, did you have a drink? I'm like, just a margarita with lunch. She's like, that is drinking. I'm like, it was like, come on. You know, it was like these like tests, right? Come on. And then after a few months of seeing her, it wasn't even just seeing her. It was actually a few months of trying to get through a day without a drink and thinking I could think my way through that. Smart, I'll figure it out. I couldn't, because I'd have a feeling, or something would happen, or something wouldn't happen, or he'd call, or he wouldn't call, you know, like, you know, what are you going to do? So you have to have a drink, like, you have to have a drink. And she kept saying, you're still drinking. You can't not drink by yourself. You need help. And then I'd say, but I'm paying you. She's like, I'm not an alcoholic. You need to go be with alcoholics. You need to be with alcoholics because you guys could get me sober. And so I went. And, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. My first meeting was at the convent at 90th and 5th. And I was late. I was late because I couldn't figure out which black outfit should I wear. So you guys wouldn't think I was alcoholic. I'm like, I didn't know where I was going. Like, so you wouldn't think I was too much of a mess. And it was snowing and it was March and it was a convent and I'm Jewish. I've never been in a convent. I'm like, what do you do in a convent? Like, I was so afraid to walk in. But I kept hearing her voice. You have to go. You need it. And I couldn't. I was stuck in that place. Like, I knew I couldn't not drink, you know? And I went. And it was a round robin topic meeting. And for those of you who knew, that's people were sitting in a circle sharing on a topic. What's the topic? Work in sobriety. I was like, what? Wait, what? You know, and it was people sharing about how getting sober and learning how to support themselves through their own contributions. I was like, wow, I've never done that. And through honest work. I was like, honest work? Like an honest day's work for an honest day's pay? Living by the principles of the steps. What are the principles? Well, one of them is honesty. I was never honest. I was never honest. I mean, not if it wasn't convenient, if you know what I mean. Today, today I can't sleep if I wasn't on. Like, I have to go make an amend. Like, I can't, like, I get so agitated if I'm not, which I'm so grateful for. I'm so grateful for that agitation now if I'm not practicing the principles. Alright, so let me tell you some milestones, some things, some blessings. So I worked the steps with Peggy. We start at the beginning of the book and go through it. A couple miracles have happened. So many miracles. Oh my God, so many miracles. So as I said, so I came in, I got sober here in the city. I had never went to school. I had never finished college when I got here. I was 25 and I had a dream to go back to school. And actually I had a sponsor just before you who told me I had to get an honest job and I had to stop with the selling, the substances, and stop with the sugar days. I'm like, but how do you pay the rent? And she's like, do you know how to do anything? I'm like, I don't know. But I went to a business meeting because you guys told me I had to get commitments at meetings. So I had the cookie commitment at this Friday night meeting. And a guy in that meeting who had another commitment, he managed a restaurant. And he heard me share about that annoying sponsor who told me I needed an honest job. And he's, do you know how to waitress? I'm like, I don't know if I know how to waitress. And he's like, well, come by tomorrow. And he gave me a job. And that job, I could cry. I worked there for 7 years. I put myself through college working there. I would carry these trays and I said, I'm the Statue of Liberty because I'm free. I'm like free. I'm like, I'm sober. I'm not, you know, like conniving anybody. I'm not sleeping with anybody. I'm like free. Like an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. And I got to go back to college in AA. And I did it the AA way, and like you guys told me, like, ask questions if you don't know something. Don't pretend you don't know something, right? Like, what a gift that was. What a gift that was. And I learned at college that I wasn't stupid. I was just stoned and drunk. Like, I was like, it's like amazing what you guys do, right? When we sober up. And then I tried to get a job, and Myra, you helped me so much. I mean, I don't mean to, I hope I'm not breaking anonymity, but oh my goodness. We would sit and Vincent's there, and Vincent had these sober houses. And we'd go out in the Hamptons. And I'd waitress, and then Friday night after my shift, we'd run out, and Maureen, we'd like, jump on the train, and Ava was there, right? And I'd circle to help one another, and try to do this, and try to do that. And this was before they invented the internet. You would actually look for jobs in what's called a newspaper. And, and we had to literally circle the ad, and call them, and type a resume. It was so much work, right? Oh my gosh. But you gave me a huge opportunity, and thank you. Thank you. And, oh my gosh. And then kind of one thing led to another, and I sort of like figured out like what I didn't figure anything out. Here's the truth. I kept asking God, just like it says in this book, and just like Peggy kept telling me every morning, she said, get on your knees. God, help me do your will today. And it says in our 11th step, right? We pray only for the knowledge of God's will and the power to carry it out. My prayers before I got here was, God, give me this. God, give me that. God, give me him. God, give me it, right? God, give me the. It never worked. And now I get here, I'm like, God, what's your will for me? What is your will for me? And give me the power to carry it out. And you guys might have heard, there's this great speaker, Father Tom. He's wonderful. And early in my sobriety, I heard one of his tapes, and somebody asked him, how do you know God's will? And he said, it's wherever the doors are opening. God's will is where the doors are opening. You know what's not God's will? Where the doors are shut. Stop banging on them. Turn around. Right? It's like, but so much of my life was banging on shut doors and being angry at the door. Right? In AA, I learned it's like, turn around. Look for what's God's will. Look for what's God's will. So it's, where are the doors opening? Another way to say it is, where's the love? And for me, man, right here in the Atlanta group is where the love is, right? We keep showing up here. We keep doing service here. Doors start opening. Doors you never imagine would open. I never, ever imagined I'd be living the life I live. And I am so grateful. Every day, I would have given anything for the life I have today. So you might have heard the through line, like, I always wanted him. And I dated a lot of people who were not him. Thank you. And Peggy would say to me, tell me all the time, the prayer is, God, if I'm meant to be married, bring me one day closer. If not, help me let it go. Help me let it go. And when I was 15 years sober, I met a man that's also sober in this program. He's sober 36 years in this program. And we fell in love, and we are married today, 18 years we're married. Vincent was the judge. He married us. Peggy spoke at the wedding. Mo was there. It was like, and my husband sponsored. We had the smallest wedding because the room was really small. Like, the room we could afford to rent was really small. And we're like, how are we going to do this? And it was between his family. It was like, okay, we could fit all your siblings and their spouses, my siblings and their spouses, your sponsor, my sponsor, two best friends. Done. We're like, so our sponsors were actually the ones like leading the wedding. It was so important. So thank you. And then God blessed us with this child. And so here's the thing I had. I was 16 years sober. I was very used to having 4 or 5 commitments a week, getting to a meeting every day. I always wanted a baby. I always wanted a baby. So I was a sober mom. But all of a sudden, I'm like, uh-oh, I can't get to a meeting. Like, I'd bring her, she'd cry. Maureen was pregnant at the exact same time. We lived next door to each other. She had Brendan, I had Caitlin, exact same time. We'd bring the babies to meetings, they'd crawl around. But then they'd start to cry. So I wasn't really in a meeting. I was more like, I hope she doesn't cry, I hope she doesn't cry, I hope she doesn't cry. Then we moved. Long story short, we moved to this town where they didn't like crying babies in meetings, which was a good idea on their part. Hiring babysitters at home became a very, my husband's like, really? Every night you're going to hire a babysitter? Like, we still don't have the budget for this. So I ended up, there were no meetings that had babysitting. I'm going to start a meeting for mothers because there were all these parents out there. And I rented a room at a church and I made the nursery a part of the lease for the meeting so that nobody could tell us we couldn't bring our kids and couldn't have them in another room. And we hired a babysitter and it was part of the meeting. It was part of the seventh step. It was part of the group conscience in starting the meeting. This meeting will provide free babysitting because I was paying a lot of money for a babysitter and I knew there were a lot of people that couldn't afford it. But I thought if we all put money in the basket, parents would come. That meeting is still going on. My daughter's now 17. She was 1 and a half at the time. That meeting's still going on. We ended up getting 3 babysitters, 20 kids, 60 kids. Like, the kids' experience of AA was like fun time. Like, toys, games, you know, the whole thing. They love, when are we going to a meeting, Mommy? And I'm like... Kept me sober, nights up, and I don't know. Come on, Mom, we gotta go. And then we ended up, so that kind of group of parents, when we saw we could be of service, because there were newcomers who had kids that didn't know that every meeting in AA didn't just provide free babysitting. So in that community, we ended up starting a meeting every single day of the week that provides babysitting. And that was like my service for a while. Like, I was on a mission for sober parents, for people who couldn't get to a meeting. Because I was used to every night, you know. And it was like, and believe me, once I had her, I needed a meeting bad, right? And I'm like, wow, I have to get to the meeting. So, oh my gosh, so many more miracles I want to tell you. But my time is almost up. So I just want to tell you, like, in a nutshell, one of my husband's other sponsors used to say, you know what, come into AA and instead of looking for problems, start looking for the miracles. Start recognizing the miracles. My sober life, it has not been about not having problems. It's been about having the tools to deal with the problems as they show up. It's about having the tools to deal with life's lessons without a drink. I never thought I could get through a problem. I couldn't even get through a feeling without a drink. Today, I have experienced, because of you guys, I never, ever do this alone, right? I call one of you. I show up at a meeting. Any issue, any problem you guys are dealing with, if you're new, just stay close. Get commitments, get a sponsor, make this your home group, and you will do just fine. Thanks for letting me share.